Parshas Noach this week. Noach is always the first Shabbos in the month of Mar Cheshvan. Noach, of course, talks about the Mabul, which began in Mar Cheshvan. It's also interesting that Mar Cheshvan is also the month in which Noach and his family came out of the Teva. It is also the month in which the earth dried. The Pasuk says about Chodesh Hasheni, the Shiva Esrim Yoim LaChodesh Yavsha Ha'oretz. The earth dried and it became ready for people to live in again. The same month was that you have in the same month on the 17th of Mar Cheshvan, the Mabul starts and the world became unfit to be able to exist in. And at, in the same time, the same month, on the 27th of Mar Cheshvan, Noach and his family come out of the Teva and they begin to repopulate the world a year later, right? This parasha begins with the story, of course, of a man who the Torah testifies was a tzaddik. In other words, Noach was always great, because the fact that the Torah tells us he was an ish tzaddik tamim, and the Torah already told us at the end of last week's parasha that he was matzah chen be'enei Hashem, despite the surroundings and despite the decadence and the immorality of the generation surrounding him, tells us that Noach was a very great person. However, as we mentioned last week, Noach was not the one to perfect the world or to prevent a Mabul from happening. Not only that, but we'll see later in the parasha that Noach falls as a result of planting a vineyard and then getting drunk, and as a result of that he has to curse his grandson who becomes a slave, Eved Avadim Yele Echav. That Kalala comes to the world, Avdus is brought, slavery comes to the world, which is of course a negative thing, and slavery doesn't only mean slaves to humans, but the fact that a person could be enslaved to his Yetzer Hara. Why is it that Noach, who is referred to as an Ish Tzaddik, his father was a Tzaddik, it's clear that his father was a Navi because his father called him Noach when he was born, because Zayin Achameinu Mima'aseinu, how did he know that unless he was a Navi? So it's clear that his father was a Navi, and Noach already at birth entered a home that was a great home. His father called him Noach because he said that this child, Pashtus, this is a prophecy, he's going to comfort us from all the difficulties that we have in plowing and farming farms, because people, they didn't have farm tools. So he prophesied that he's going to invent farm tools. How did he know that when he was born? So obviously he's a Navi, and also he was born with fingers, but no one else understood that's what the fingers meant. They thought it was a curse. They thought that there was something wrong with him. So his father, Lamech, this is not the Lamech that's the one who killed Cain. This is the Lamech who's Noach's father, is obviously a Navi. And Lamech's father is Mr. Shalach, who was a Tzaddik. That's clear that he was a Tzaddik. So Noach definitely came into the world, came into a home where the atmosphere of the home was different than the surrounding generation was. That yet we find that Chazal seemed to constantly be scolding Noach. Like we find at the beginning of the parasha, Tanim Hayah B'Doy Reisov, he was great in his generation, and Rashi says, but not if he would have lived in a different generation. Why are we being negative about him? If he's a tzaddik and a tamim and he's matzochein da'ini Hashem, why look for negativity here? You're supposed to be malamed tzchus on a person. You're not supposed to look for bad. I mean, of course, there's the others who say that if he would have been in the dor of tzaddikim, certainly he would have been great. But then there's the opinion that only in his generation he was a tzaddik. Of course he was a tzaddik, because everyone else was bad, so he was a tzaddik. Had he lived, however, Rashi says, in the generation of Avraham, and Rashi's mentions Avraham specifically, he wouldn't have been worth anything. That's what Rashi says. Lo yonechshav leklum. And what's interesting is, Avraham, we first learn about at the end of this week's parasha, and the Torah does not say that he was a tzaddik. The Torah doesn't say, Terach had a son Avraham, who was an ish tzaddik, tamim, and motzachein be'enei Hashem. The Torah makes it as if this is just a regular person among the 10 generations that I discussed here. Vayelid Terach, Vayelid es Avraham, es Nochavi, es Horon. The Eilid told us Terach, Terach Eilid is Avram. Avram marries Sarai. Sarai is an Akora, Ein Vavolod. And Terach takes his son and his nephew and his grandson Lot, and Sarai his daughter-in-law. They leave work custom and they go to Choron. And then it says that Terach lived 205 years. But almost Terach b'Choron. Does it say who Avram is? No. If you don't know who Avram is, you have no idea who it is. Now this is Avinu Harishon, the first of the Avos. He's the first Yid, the first Jew. And yet, the Torah doesn't say anything about his greatness. Not only that, but when Hashem appears to him in next week's parasha, Vayomer Hashem el Avram, lech lecha me'aretzach, the Torah also doesn't introduce us to who this individual is. And yet, Noach, who the Torah says, is an ish tzaddik tamim, yet Chazal say, yeah, but that's only in his generation. But if it would have been in the time of Avram, it wouldn't worth anything. Why is it that he is described as this great tzaddik? And Avram is not. And we know Avram was a tzaddik, and Avram passed all the 10 tests. And Avram is the first yid, and Avram has Mesiras Nefesh, and Ahavas Hashem that no one ever had. And he goes to the Akedah. But there's no introduction to who Avram Avinu is, and the Torah does not say that he was a tzaddik. Even though Noach is a tzaddik, however, we look at it, he definitely was a tzaddik. The Torah says he was a tzaddik, whether he wouldn't have been a different generation or not. The fact is still that he was a tzaddik. But Noach, afterwards, after the Mabul, the Pasuk says that Noach stooped. He fell, because it says, Vayochel Noach Isho Adam Vayita Kora. Now, Vayochel has a few interpretations. Some say Vayochel means when he began. Tchila, like it says in the previous parasha, Vayiki Heichel Ha'odam Laroi Valtoneho Adam. Others say Vayochel means he waited, like we have in this week's parasha too. Vayochel Noach, before he sent the dove, he waited a week. And Rashi says, no, Vayochel means Osa Atzmai Chulin. He got involved in the unholy. He made himself unholy. He should have done better things. The first thing he should have done after coming out of the table should have been something of a divine purpose, a holy thing, not planting a vineyard. Vayita Kora. And then we see the results of this, that Vayeshmin Hayayin Vayishka. He gets drunk, and as a result of that, Vayizgal. He's not wearing clothes, and as a result of that, his son, Vayarcham Avi Kanan, Vayagay Lushneachov Bachutz, and Shem Vayefis have to cover him, and Chom is cursed. Orer Kinoan, Eved Avodim Yihiel Ve'echov. A curse comes to the world, and there's Avdus, which Avdus is definitely a negative concept, because of Noach being involved in Chulin. This happens to Noach. This does not happen to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu, this doesn't happen. So Avram Avinu goes higher and higher in his Avodas Hashem until he reaches the greatest level by the Akedah and passes all the 10 tests. However, Noach, as great as he was, he seems to be falling at the end. Asa Atzmai Chulin, and out of him comes a Klola, while out of Avram comes Bracha. Veheyei Bracha, Ba'avorcha Mevoracheka. Avram brings Bracha to the world. More than that, the last Rashi of the parasha, Vayomas Terach Becharon, Rashi says there's a Nun Hafucha at the end of the parasha. Some have it in their Sifrei Torah, like a backwards Nun, like you have by Ba'aloyscha, like by Ibn Atzai Ha'oroi. So Rashi says, Ad Avram Charoin Akshal Mokoi. Until Avram, there was anger in the world. Hashem was angry at the world. The Mishnah says, actually, Asara Doris Min Noach V'Ad Avraham, Lo'ivia Kama Erech HaPayim L'Fonav, Shekol Ad Doris Hoim Achisim Uvoi, Ad Shabo Avraham V'Kibel Schar Kula. The same thing it says about the 10 Doris from Adam to Noach, but that resulted in a Mabul. Noach to Avraham, there couldn't have been a Mabul. Hashem swore there's not going to be a Mabul, but the Mishnah doesn't say that there was any punishment. The Mishnah says Avram was Kibel Schar Kulam. He received reward for all the previous 9 generations. Why? Why should he receive reward for what they didn't do? What does the Mishnah mean? And why is it a backwards Nun? Now, the word Charon, in other words, is read as Charon, Charonaf, the anger of Hashem in this world. And Avram calmed the anger of Hashem, and the anger subsided, and from then on things changed. Avram is the one who introduces us to what we call the Shnei Alafim Torah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that the world was created to exist for 6,000 years. Shita Alfa Shnei Hava Alma. The first 2,000 years was called the Shnei Alafim Toihu. 2,000 years of emptiness, void of anything. There's no Torah yet. And that's why those generations, it flopped. You know, you have the Mabul, and you have the Dor HaFloga, and you have the Dor Enosh. It didn't result in anything. You have a few tzaddikim here and there, but it didn't turn into anything. It didn't materialize into anything constructive. Avram Avinu begins the Shnei Alafim Torah, even though the Torah wasn't given until the year 2448, so that's 448 years already into the third millennium. But the Gemara says it started with Avram Avinu when Avram Avinu began teaching Torah, began teaching the truth, teaching monotheism to the world when he was 52 years old. When he was 52 years old, that was the year 2000, the real 2000. Because Avram Avinu was born in 1948, the original 1948, so when he was 52, it was 2000. That's Vias HaNefesh Asher Asu B'Choron. That begins the Shnei Alafim, the period known as the Shnei Alafim Torah. We are, of course, past that. We are in the period known as the Shnei Alafim Yemais HaMashiach, and as the Gemara ends off about when they say, Yatsu Mashiach Yatsu, and as we're really, it's overdue already. And we're waiting for the Gilui of Mashiach. So Avraham is Zoichet to bring the world to the truth. He begins the Shnei Alafim Torah. He changes the world. Noach doesn't do that. Noach, as we mentioned last week, is very complacent, very comfortable on his teva. He's happy. He has what he wants. He has his family. The rest of the world is drowning and dying. So they deserve it. That's all. Noach doesn't go out of his way to try to change the generation. Noach doesn't pray for his generation. There's no mention that Noach sat in the corner and davened to Hashem that maybe there are 10 tzaddikim, maybe there are 50 tzaddikim like Avraham Avinu did. No mention of that. He worked round the clock, but as it says in Sforim, that in the Teva of Noach, there was an aura of the Beis HaMikdash. For example, on the Teva, there was no time, there was no place, there was no space. The Ramban tells us, if you figure out how long and how wide the Teva was, it's a miracle that everything fit. Because just remember, all the animals, the birds, the insects, the rodents, and everything fit on one floor only. The top floor is for the humans, and the bottom floor is for the garbage. And the Teva is not that big. So you're talking about every single animal. Every animal you see in the world today had to have a grandfather on that Teva. There were two elephants, and there were seven giraffes, because giraffes are kosher, and there were seven oxen, and there were every kind of bug that you could imagine, and birds. It's mind-boggling. How do they all fit on the floor? But so the Ramban says that it's Mu'at HaMachzikas HaMerubah. It was a miracle. It's like the Beis HaMikdash, where it says, Oim dem svufim mishtachim mevachim, that there was a nest, that they were able to bow down, and there was room, and no one heard the other say, Vidui. The same thing with time. We know there was no time on the Teva, because the Torah tells us how old Noach was when he came out of the Teva, and how long he lived, and there's a year missing. So Chazal said, because the year that he was on the Teva didn't count, there was no aging on the Teva. As the Pasuk says, V'aki Moisi as Brisi Itoch, and Rashi says, that Hashem made a bris with Noach, that the fruits and the vegetables that he brought on the Teva did not rot, because there was no aging. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash, it says in the Mishnah, nothing spoiled, there's no aging. You have also the insects that don't have vertebrae, they cannot live more than 12 months. They weren't allowed to mate on the Teva. So how is it possible that they existed and without mating? How do we have those insects today? Obviously, it was a different order. It was Yemois HaMashiach on the Teva of Noach. Yes, it was a difficult job feeding all the animals. But you see later, Noach had to be told to go out of the Teva. He had to force the animals out of the Teva because they didn't want to go out. The feeling was they were in Gan Eden. They felt there was an amazing feeling of spirituality, an atmosphere of Kedusha on the Teva, and Noach was very happy with that. That's why the Teva had to have specific measurements, like the Mishkan, like the Beis HaMikdash, and that's why it's interesting. I wasn't going to go into this now, but if you take a look at the end of the Pasha, when they give you a simen, how many psukim does Noach have? There's always a simen at the end of the Pasha, a word equal to the amount of psukim that the Pasha has. The simen, the word equal to the amount of psukim the Pashas Noach has, which is 153, is Bezalel. Bezalel is equal to 153, which is how many psukim Pashas Noach has. What does that have to do with Pashas Noach? The answer is, Bezalel is the one who built the Mishkan. Noach built the Teva. It's to hint to us that the Teva and the Mishkan are synonymous. They're the same thing. Shlomo HaMelech is the Gilgal of Bezalel, it says in the Zohar. And he built the first Beis HaMikdash. So Bezalel, Shlomo, and Noach are all doing the same thing. The only difference is Bezalel built the Mishkan for the entire Klal Yisrael. Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash for the entire Klal Yisrael. Even Goyim came to the Beis HaMikdash. Noach's table was only for his family and his immediate family, and that's it. Because Noach didn't go out to the world. Noach did not involve himself in the mundane. He didn't involve himself in anything that was outside of the confines of Kedusha. And that's why he was a tzaddik. But that wasn't what Hashem wanted. Hashem created a world, as we spoke about last week, that needs to be perfected, that needs to be illuminated. We have a world of tohu vavohu v'choshech al pnei sahayim. Vayomer Elokim yehi or. Hashem wants that a Jew light up the world. And the Medrash tells us that yehi or refers to Avraham Avinu, that there were 2,000 generations of tohu vavohu v'choshech, darkness, and no one did anything about it. Even though Mesushelach was a tzaddik, Mayach was a tzaddik, and it seems that Lemech was. And there were others. None of them did anything to illuminate the darkness. They had their own, in their own private lives, they lived lives of tzaddikim. And as they lived, they kept to the seven mitzvahs. Or in fact, in our passion, Noach learned Torah. But did they get involved in the outside world? Did they lower themselves to deal with the chulin of this world, with the mundane, with the unholy, with the purpose of elevating it? They didn't do it. The first one to do that is Avraham Avinu, and that's really what we're here for. The Eidish, the creator of the world, as the Medrash says, to make this world a dira batachtoinim, a dwelling place down below. That means in this lowly earth, with all the negativity, and all the sheker, and all the decadence, and the immorality, and the idolatry, and the heresy, and everything, that's where a Jew has to make a dwelling place for Hashem. Of course, part of it is by staying away from it, and the another way is
by affecting, by elevating it, whatever can be elevated. Noach didn't want to have anything to do with that. And that's why when he came out of the Teva and he got involved in Chulin, he fell. Because he didn't make that his purpose. He couldn't deal with Chulin. He was 601 years old, and at the age of 601, and never ever dealt with Chulin before, it made him fall. And therefore, as a result of Asa Atzma Chulin planting the vineyard, we see what occurred. What did he bring to the world? Avdus, slavery. What does Avram bring to the world? Avram brings Cheres to the world. Because what it ends with, Shnei Halafim Torah, brings to Matan Torah, where it says, Choris al Haluchais, al Tikri Choris Ela Cheres, only someone who learns Torah, lives a Torah life, is free. Can free himself from the Yetzer Hara, can free himself from the temptations of this world. That Avraham Avinu started. Because Avraham Avinu went out into the world, and Avraham Avinu affected the world. But he did not start off a tzaddik. And here's the major difference. In fact, the major says Avraham Avinu was a ben nida. Avraham Avinu was born to parents who were idol worshippers, who were contaminated. Terach and his wife Amasloi, her name was, the Gemara says. Avraham was not born into a home of Kedusha. And in fact, I said this last night at a different occasion, that I don't think anyone today would have been allowed to walk into Avraham Avinu's home. We would not have been allowed to walk into his home where he was born. Because it was full of idols.
His grandfather was Masushala.
That's Noach. Noach's grandfather. Right. One second. Noach's home you could have walked into. Yes. Because he was born to people who were not idol worshippers. He was born into an aura of Kedusha to some degree, whatever it was at that time. Not Avraham. Avraham, his origin, his background is negative, is evil. He comes from...
So really, except for Avram, his whole Torah was of Rishayim, just like the Torah of Noah. So why do they compare the Torah of...
Yes,
Noah,
similar, that's true.
Only one person, Avram.
Right.
Not the Torah.
Well, no, Avram Avinu was the only one. It's true.
The only one, but the door was just as Russia as...
It wasn't the door of Hashchasa as much. No. It was more of the door of idol worshippers. It wasn't so much Hashchasa. You see, they rebelled against Hashem. Yes, yes, true, but that's Deus. That's... Midos is worse than Deus. It's harder to change your Midos. Avram Avinu wasn't afraid of idol worship. You see, he wasn't afraid. In fact, he didn't mind if his future daughter-in-law will be an idol worshiper, because he knows he can turn her around in 10 minutes. But someone who has rotten character, that he didn't want his... That's why he didn't want from the Bnei Chum. He didn't want them to be... He didn't want the Canaanim to be, you know... He wanted to be Meshadach with them. Even Eliezer now, he said, you are Orer and I'm Baruch and I came from Meshadach with you. There could have been others besides Avraham too, here and there. But definitely most of that generation, Shem was still living, that's correct. Shem was still living and he had a base measurement. There were people. But it certainly was a generation that says that deserved the flood, if not for the fact that Hashem swore that there won't be another one. Avraham Avinu kibel schar kula, because Avraham Avinu affected and worked on his surroundings. Avraham Avinu went into the world and did something about it and began to change the world. And that's why he received schar for what he did. And it even goes back. Avraham Avinu, his schar, retroactively, received schar for the previous generations too. This idea that one is supposed to go into the world of Chulin and affect the mundane and the unholy and elevated is what Maar Cheshvan is all about. Because Maar Cheshvan is the first month of the year where we are no longer in an atmosphere of Kedusha as we were in the month of Tishrei. Tishrei we were on the Teva. The Pasuk says, V'atonach HaTeva V'chodesh HaShevi'i. So Tzadikim translated this, that Teva means word. The words of Torah and Tefillah rest on the seventh month, meaning the seventh month is Tishrei. Tishrei is the seventh month. Seventh month from Nisan. That's the month of the Teva. That's the month when everyone's going to Shul, when we're protected, we have the Sukkah, we have all these mitzvahs, we have Tshuva. Once we leave the Tishrei atmosphere, and we go into Maar Cheshvan, we're going down. We're going from Yerushalayim into Bavel. Bavel is the country that we read about in this week's parasha, known as Shinar. Why was it called Shinar? And it's called Shinar in this week's parasha, because Rashi tells us at the beginning of the parasha that the reason why it was called Mabul, is there are three reasons why the Mabul was called Mabul. One is because of Bila, means to decay. The Mabul caused the earth to decay, to rot. Everything got destroyed. Mabul, Bila, which incidentally, Maar Cheshvan is called Yerach Bul for that reason too. It's the month of decay, it's the month in which everything falls off, the leaves fall off the tree. It looks like the world is experiencing a decay. It's also called Mabul because of Bilbul, because of confusion. The Mabul confused everything. The waters all around the world brought bones of different animals to different parts of the world, which is the reason why they find, let's say, monkey bones in Alaska or polar bear bones in Africa, where they don't live. which puzzles the scientists. They can't understand why that is, and they kind of put all these theories, but the answer is the Mabul. The Mabul was Mevalbel, Bilbel Esa'ilah, that's also Bilbel. And the third interpretation, Rashi says, is Hovil, that the Mabul, Hovil means it brought down, it brought that which was up down. All the Mesei Mabul were fell into the valleys of Shinar, of Bavel. That's why it's called Shinar. Rashi says, Sheninarusham Kol Mesei Mabul. All those who died in the Mabul fell there, were stirred and fell into the slopes, into the valleys of Shinar. That's why it's called Shinar. That's the same thing is happening now. After Tishrei, we all fall into Shinar. We fall into Ma'acheshvan. Ma'acheshvan is the Shinar of time, the Bavel. But why is it called Bavel in this week's parasha as well? Because of Bilbo. Sham Bavel Hashem Sfas Kol Haaretz. There's a major confusion here. Everyone's speaking different languages. You have to deal with all the languages in the world. Tishrei is Lashon HaKodesh, the way that it once was. Vayhi Kol Haaretz Sofa Achas U'Dvarim Achadim, as we say in this week's parasha. Everyone was speaking Lashon HaKodesh. And then it says, Vayhi Benasa Mikedem, they traveled from the east, and they found themselves a valley, a Bikra, the Eretz Shinar, in the land of Shinar. This is, of course, the Dar HaFloga. This is the which took place in the year 1996, the real 1996, when Avraham Avinu was 48 years old, which according to the opinion of the Medrash, that's the year that he recognizes Hashem. The same year he recognizes Hashem, that's when the rest of the world is falling into Shinar. The rest of the world is becoming Mevulbo. The rest of the world is confused. The rest of the world is rebelling against Hashem under Nimrod's domain. Avram is recognizing Hashem, and he's leaving, and he's going to Yerushalayim. Because where does Avram go? It says in the next week's parasha, Havach ben Asleya HaNegba. Avram Avinu is going south, he's going to Yerushalayim. Avram Avinu is going to the Shar Hanun, which Shinar is the same letters as Shar Nun, if you turn it around, because every person has a choice. Either you go to Shinar, or you go to Shar Nun. Either you go into a, either you fall into a world of confusion, and into a world of decay, or you have the experience to elevate yourself and to rise and reach the highest levels, which is the Shar Nun. Interesting that according to the Sefer Yetzirah, Ma'acheshvan, every month has a different letter that it was created with. Ma'acheshvan is created with the letter Nun, which Nun can go two ways. It could be Nefila, that's why it doesn't say Nun in Ashrei, or the Nun stands for the Shar Nun, the highest level, which is the Yovo, the year in which everyone goes free. There's no Avdus anymore, no more slavery. Mayach brings slavery into the world, which leads to the Shar Nun of Tumah, which is Shinar also, Shar Nun of Tumah. Avraham Avinu prepares the world for the Shar Nun of Kedusha, which is Yerushalayim, which is Emunah. Emunah is the opposite of Kfirah. Kfirah means you don't believe in anything. Emunah means you believe even in what's impossible. Emunah is the Shar Nun of Kedusha. Kfirah is the Shar Nun of Tumah, which is where our generation is now. Right before Yemos HaMashiach, the world falls into the Shar Nun of Tumah, which is Kfira and Ninus and Znus, just as we see today, and as we saw then in the time of the Mabon and the time of the Haflaga. These two parashiyos describe the events of those generations, which is occurring today too. History repeats itself. We're going through the same thing. And just as Avraham Avinu at the end of the parasha begins to illuminate the darkness, Mashiach will illuminate the darkness and eventually banish away the darkness and bring the world to the highest levels. Here the pasuk says, "Vayehi benasa amikedem." When they traveled from Kedem, from the east, they found a valley in the land of Shinar, and that's where the Haflaga takes place. The Torah is hinting to us also, we are now leaving Kedem. Tishrei is Kedem. Tishrei is the month of where we read Bereshis, Bereshis Aleph B'Tishrei, which Unkelus translates that Bereshis is Mila Kadmin. Kedem. Everyone reached Kedem. We all went back to our source, our root, which is Kedem. Kadmaynei Shalolam. Now we are leaving Kedem. That's what happened literally at that time. Everyone went away from Yerushalayim. They were going home. Cheshvan is the month in which everyone was dispersing and scattering throughout the entire Eretz Yisrael. Ishtachas Gafnei, Vitachas Te'enos, and everyone's going back. The rain season begins. Yerach Bul, as opposed to Tishrei, which is Yerach Rezonim. We are leaving Kedem, and we are entering the Valley of Shinar. Now Cheshvan is an empty month, a month in which there's no Yom Tov, a month in which we don't have the same Kedusha, at least on the outside, as we have in the month of Tishrei. There aren't as many mitzvahs. It's the regular, average, mundane, everyday life. It's Chulin. It's a month of Chulin. But this is where it really counts. We are sent to the world to deal with the Chulin of this world and to elevate it, not to allow the Chulin, the mundane and the unholy, to make us fall, but rather that we should rise. Not to fall into Shinar, but rather that we should rise to the Shar Nun. Noach didn't do that. And what happens is, Vayita Korem, Vayishkor, Vayizgal, and Oror Kanan, Ebed Avodim Yelo Echob. Avraham Avinu, on the other hand, is not born a tzaddik. Avraham Avinu is born into a world of darkness. Avraham Avinu has the challenges that everyone has. No Jew can ever say, how can I reach great heights? My parents weren't religious. Or, my background is no good. I didn't go to yeshiva. I lived a life void of Yiddishkeit for so many years. The answer is, so did Avraham Avinu, the first Jew. Was not born into a Yiddish home at all. Was not born into a house of Kedusha. Again, a house that none of us would even be allowed to go into today. And he broke those idols later on, even though he worshipped those idols too at the beginning. He was also an idol worshipper. According to some, he was 48 years old. So his background was negative. And look what he turned himself into. And he began to illuminate the darkness. And Hashem chose him to be the first Yid, not Noach. Despite that, Noach is a tzaddik and born into an atmosphere of Kedusha. But we see at the end that he falls. He falls and brings avdus to the world, indirectly. Avraham Avinu, on the other hand, Avraham Avinu is not born into such Kedusha, but yet he is zoicha to end the charoi nafshomach. That's the nun hafuch at the end of the pass. That's why it's a nun. The nun can go two ways. It could be even the fila, or the highest levels, which is the Shar HaNun, which Avraham Avinu brought the world to that level. That's why the Nun turns around at the end of the Pasha Vayomas Terach B'choron. Terach symbolizes the rishis of that generation. Terach was a rishis to some point, even though he became a tzaddik later. He was about tshuva. So Vayomas Terach B'choron, the Charoin Af is gone. Avraham Avinu is here, and the Shnei Alofim Torah is ready to begin, and the darkness is ready to be illuminated. This we read now as we enter this month, the month of Maher Cheshvan, the Yerach Bul, where we fall into the average everyday week, where there is no Yom Tov anymore, there's no Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and here's where the challenge is. The Baal Shem Tov, they say, teached the Pasuk, Boyal HaTeva, what Soy HaTasal HaTeva, that Teva means not only, as we said before, not only a box, an ark, a boat, it means a word. So the Baal Shem Tov translated, Boyal HaTeva, enter the Teva, enter the words of Torah and Tefillah. Make a light, illuminate the words of your davening. Your davening should have meaning, it should mean something. Why are we learning about this now? If anything, Tishrei is the month in which we spend so much time davening. Now we're not davening so much anymore. Now we don't have Chayshanis, we don't say Hallel, we're not saying Slichas, and all the extra tefillahs, the Davar Hashem Oyev V'Yishi. Now it's just regular tefillah. Is this a time that the Torah is hinting to us? And it's interesting that the Rishon, the Holy Rishon, whose Yahrzeit is tonight, right now, Gimel Maher Cheshvan, whose name is also Yisroel, he was named after the Baal Shem Tov. He said that the reason why it's called Maher Cheshvan, I know the Rav mentioned that here this previous Shabbos, not in the name of the Rishon, but it's the Rishon, they say, who said it, that Maher Cheshvan comes from the word Merachshon, which means moving. Merachshon Sifafasa, his lips are moving. And he said that in Maher Cheshvan, our lips are still moving from all the davening that we did in Tishrei. Like anything else, when there's a lot of movement, even when you stop it, it's still moving. You turn a wheel, even though you walk away, it's still moving on its own. Even a chicken, they chop its head off, or they shecht it, the chicken still moves, still moving, as if it's still alive. We spoke, we used our mouths, and we said so many tefillos and tehillim and Divrei Torah throughout Tishrei, that even though it's not Tishrei anymore, our lips are still moving. So he said, that's why it's called Maher Cheshvan. So what's the meaning of that? So therefore, that's why it's called Maher Cheshvan. Our lips are still moving. And how many lips are still moving? There's a depth to that word. And that's the answer to this. What the original was trying to say, what the Baal Shem Tov is hinting into these words here in this parasha, is that here's where it really counts. Of course everyone was davening in Tishrei. And of course everyone had kavana when they davened Shemayna Esrei and meant all the tshuva that they did and all the resolutions that they accepted upon themselves. Definitely. But now, when it's Maher Cheshvan and we're no longer in the month of Tishrei, and the davening is not as long, and we did tshuva for all the times that we davened without kavana. Now is where the Yetzirah is watching, and of course he's going to prosecute when he sees that. You see, they said they're going to daven with kavana. Look how they daven again. Back to normal business as usual. Here the Torah says, Boyal HaTeva, Soy HaTasal HaTeva, Maher Cheshvan, Merachshon. Yes, your lips should still be moving. In other words, you should be davening and learning as you did in Tishrei, you should extend the Tishrei into Maher Cheshvan. The Arizal taught us that every month has a different combination of Hashem's name. The combination of Hashem's name for the month of Maher Cheshvan is derived from the first four letters of the words in Parshas Kisavai, Udevash Hayoim Hazeh Hashem. That's Vav Hey Hey Yud. Udevash Hayoim Hazeh Hashem. Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Why is it hinted in these words? Udevash refers to Eretz Zavas Chol of Udevash. So we take that word from the last pasuk and we connect it to the next pasuk, Hayom Hazeh Hashem, which that pasuk Rashi says teaches us that every day a person has to visualize that that's the first time that he ever learned in his life. The Torah was just given. And the idea is that Ma'acheshvan, if anything, is the month in which we start to get burnt out. You know, to get into the regular flow of things. It's no longer Tishrei. We're no longer as excited as we were. In Tishrei, there was a certain intensity. There was a certain... we were very hot about serving Hashem. Ma'acheshvan, we cool off. That's why Ma'acheshvan is the month of the scorpion. Akrev. And the Akrev, we know, it says in the Sfarim, that the poison of the Akrev causes the nerves to freeze, as opposed to the poison of a snake, which burns. The poison of the Akrev cools off, it freezes. In the month of Ma'acheshvan, we get cool and cold. Ashakarcha Baderech. We get burnt out, we don't feel as excited as we did before. The sweetness of Tishrei is gone, and now we enter the month of Ma'acheshvan, which means bitter Cheshvan. It's a month of Merirus. We don't have the Yom Tov and the sweetness of Tishrei. We're no longer dipping the apple in the honey and the chawa in the honey. On the contrary, says the Arizal, that the combination of Hashem's name for the month of Cheshvan is Udvash Hayoim Hazeh. Udvash. Yes, the honey of Tishrei extend into Ma'a Cheshvan. Hayoim Hazeh. Hischatrus. The Hischatrus that you experience in Tishrei, experience in Ma'a Cheshvan as well. Boyal Ateva now, even though Batanach HaTeva, Bachodesh HaShavimi, really, now Boyal HaTeva, now Tzai HaTasel HaTeva. Let's see if you can continue on the same level that you were on Tishrei and Ma'acheshvan, because here's where it really counts. Just as when a child is born, the Yetzirah enters the body immediately. That's what Rashi tells us in this week's parasha. Also, a word with the same root as Shinar, and that is, Ki Yetzirah Lev HaAdam Ra Mina Urav. It says Mina Urav. So Rashi says, when a child, when a fetus begins to make its move out of its mother's stomach, nitan do yetzahara. Even though a baby doesn't really sin, but the word tzaddikim that it says that did shuv for all the times that they woke up their parents in the middle of the night when they were infants, so that's a high madrega, obviously. But there is a yetzahara. We see it clearly. There's kinna, there's sinna, there's a yetzahara even in our youth, but we're not responsible until we become bar mitzvah, until we're 20, b'day shemayim. But the yetzahara is there as soon as the child leaves the womb. In the womb, there's no yetzahara. When the child is in the womb, he's in an atmosphere of total kedusha, like in the Teva of Noach, like in the month of Tishrei. As soon as we leave Tishrei, as soon as a child leaves the womb where he learns Kol HaTorah Kula, the Malach makes him forget. He forgets whatever he learned. He enters the world of Shikha. The Yetzirah immediately attacks him and begins to convince him to sin and to fall. And that's exactly what we're experiencing now in Ma'acheshvan. The doors of Tishrei opened up. We exited the doors of Tishrei. The doors of Tishrei closed, and now we're in Ma'acheshvan. We're on our own now, and now the Yetzirah attacks us, and the Yetzirah wants to see. Let's see if your Tishrei was really worth anything at all. Just as the Yetzirah begins attacking a child, Mina Urav, right after it leaves the mother's womb, it's no longer in that atmosphere of kedusha. The same with the month of Ma'acheshvan. We leave Tishrei and we go into Ma'acheshvan. We enter Shinar as opposed to Yerushalayim, which Tishrei is really compared to Yerushalayim, and Ma'acheshvan is Shinar. But here's where the challenge begins. Here's where it really counts. That's what we're here in this world for. We're here in a world of Ra and Choshech with the job of illuminating it, just like Avraham Avinu did, and dealing with the Chulin and not separating from it. There's a time of Boyal HaTeva, and there's a time when Seimin HaTeva. You have to go out of the Teva. In Tishrei, we go out of the Teva, we leave the atmosphere of Kedusha, and we go into the world, which is Ra Mina Urav, where there's Choshech, where there's Bilbul and Bala Hashem and Ra and Shinar and all that, and our job is to elevate it. And that's what Avraham Avinu did. Avraham Avinu involved himself in Ma'acheshvan. Avraham Avinu, that's everything about Avraham Avinu we learn in the month of Ma'acheshvan. Mayach is really more associated with Tishrei. Mayach was on the Teva, satisfied with his own family. He didn't deal with the world. That's why Chazal scolded him and chastised him for not dealing with the outside world. He's compared to Avraham of all tzaddik. And therefore, in the time of Avraham, he wouldn't have been considered anything because he didn't do what Avraham did. Despite that he was born, and he's considered a tzaddik, and Avraham was not born into a family of tzaddik. This is the month where it really counts. The Tzvi Latzaddik, the Blue Shiva Rebbe, writes that Ma'acheshvan is the letters Roshem Nun Ches.
The 58 days of Elul and Tishrei are impressed. There's an impression, and as we know, whether the 58 days of Elul and Tishrei, which is 29 plus 29, mean anything when we enter Maar Cheshvan. Maar Cheshvan is the month in which we see the results of all the avodah that we did in the month, in the months of Elul and Tishrei. That's the Noyach. Noyach is Nun Ches. Eile Toldos Noyach. Maar Cheshvan is the month in which the Toldos Noyach, that's the produce of the Nun Ches of the 58 days of Elul and Tishrei, come into effect. That's when we know whether we really meant it or not. That's when we know if our efforts bear fruit. Maar Cheshvan is where it really counts. And that's why we learn all about Seimen HaTeva and Shinar and Rami Neurov and Avram Avinu and the Bittul of the Charoi Nafshon Mokka and Dafka now as we enter the month of Maar Cheshvan. Which could also be the reason why Yalkut Shemayni tells us that the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi is going to be dedicated in the month of Maar Cheshvan of all months. Shlomo HaMelech did not dedicate it in Maar Cheshvan, even though he finished building it in Maar Cheshvan. He was afraid of Maar Cheshvan. Shlomo was also afraid of Maar Cheshvan. So Shlomo waited till Tishrei. Mashiach is not going to be afraid of Maar Cheshvan, because Mashiach is the one who's going to elevate the world totally. Sakin Oyman Malchus Shin Dalad Yud, L'Hava Gilulim in Ha'aretz, the Ra will be turned into Toiv, the Chulin will become Kodesh, and Maar Cheshvan will be on the same level as Tishrei. Maar Cheshvan is the month of Menashe, as opposed to Tishrei, which is the month of Ephraim. Ephraim was learning all the time. That's Tishrei. Menashe was the statesman. Menashe was the one who interpreted the foreign languages into Lashon HaKodesh. Foreign languages came about as a result of this week's parasha. Bovel, Bovel Hashem's fast called Oretz, which is what happened in Shinar, and the bilbul of the Lashon, of the Ayin Lashonos. That's why there was a need for the Melitz, for Menashe, to interpret. Menashe dealt with the outside world. Maar Cheshvan is the month in which we have to deal with the outside world. That's our job in this world. We were sent here for a purpose. Our job is not to stay in Gan Eden. Our job is not to stay in our mother's womb. Our job is not to stay in the Teva of Noach. Noach was told to go out and go out into the world and repopulate it and elevate it. So too, a Yid leaves Gan Eden, Al Korcha Chatochai, leaves his mother's womb, despite the atmosphere of Kedusha that exists there, despite that he immediately sees the Yetzer Hara, immediately bumps into the Yetzer Hara. That's the purpose. Not to listen to the Yetzer Hara, to transform the Yetzer Hara into a Yetzer Toiv, to be Mahapech, the Nun of Nefila, to the Nun of Shar Hanun. Shinar becomes Shar Nun. And all of us are Zoicha to the Chanukah of the Beis HaMikdash HaShlishi, which will take place in the Maar Cheshvan, the Yerach Bul. And we should be zeichet to see it immediately, especially tonight. Tomorrow is the yahrzeit of the Holy Rishonah. Everyone calls him the Holy Rishonah, Rabbi Yisrael, the Rabbi Yisrael of Rishon, and his chus hayogen aleinu. And we should all be zeichet to be mesakein everything that we have to be mesakein and elevate the chulin that's around us when we go to our jobs. We should understand that when you work, when you go to your job, you're sent there for a reason, for a purpose. It's not just to make money. You're there to be mesakein your surroundings. It's woman hashemayim that you have to go to that job, and your job is to elevate the chulin that you deal with, and in some ways that's even greater than limud haTorah, because limud haTorah, a person is surrounded by kedusha, you know, the opportunity to elevate chulin and bring Hashem into this world and make this world a dira b'tachtoinim, in some ways is more by businessmen than it is by lame day Torah, especially businessmen who have time to learn Torah in the morning and at night, so their business is really all surrounded by Torah anyway. So they have this ability to elevate the mundane and the unholy, which is why we were sent to this world. They would be zeichet to accomplish everything that we have to accomplish, and be zeichet to see the month of Maar Cheshvan turn into a month of external. Externally, we should see that Maar Cheshvan is on the same level as Tishrei, because we extended Tishrei into Maar Cheshvan. They would be zeichet to do that immediately.